Okay, kids for kids church, you can be dismissed. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be read by Jerry Kerwin, and he's going to read from Colossians chapter 1, but also just tell us a brief story of answered prayer. Jerry?
Wow, was that awesome by Heather and Tim, or what? Give them another round of applause there. Yeah, thanks, Pastor. I just wanted to, it's been on my heart, so you could see the people too. It's been on my heart to share something, but I just love my church family, first off. When I'm here, I really feel like I'm home. God is great. But, you know, still growing, and thankfully God is patient with me. He always reminds me, he's just awesome. He never leaves or forsakes. I mean, he's always there. No matter how rushed we are in our life. But he reminded me of a few things through his word and Holy Spirit convicting me. First off is that, I don't know why he said this to me, but I know you all are, and I wanted to remind myself of this, of how grateful that I'm sure we all are, and I am, that we have a praying pastor. Because when I read scripture and I see how Paul and how Christ prayed and groaned and was consistent in that, it just reminds me of, as we exercise our faith to become who Christ created us to be, how important that tool is to use to exercise our faith and grow. And even though Pastor is a great teacher, he does teach well, I would much rather him not teach well, just teach good, teach through Scripture, don't get me wrong, but not be all that hoo-ha and, ooh, that's great, you know, I got it. But know that he's in that room and there are other people here that are praying for me and groaning consistently, because that is so important for the church and for all of us. And that has helped me through so many moments and times. So, you know, I'm thankful that we have people in this body that prays for all of us and groans, more importantly than anything else. So that just was on my heart, and I just also wanted to share that, you know, something we're all reminded of this time of the year. We think of the miracle of Christ and how, even though when we aren't or weren't lovable, he loved us. And even when there was no hope in this world, and that brought fear upon people, and still does to this day for people that feel hopeless, he brought hope to us. He came to us. I mean, that's amazing love. And with that said, I just want to share this. I'll call her Jane Doe, him Jim Doe. I just want to share this little miracle. And just reminded me, too, what I just said before, of how vulnerable Christ made himself as a baby. And reminded me how it's important that we make, in ways, ourselves vulnerable, so that we can share his grace and mercy and love. And that's hard for some of us sometimes. But the miracle that he works in us, because I read in Scripture too, reminding that God said to the prophets that I will one day put my spirit in everybody. And wow, did that come true through the grace of God by Jesus Christ in us. Well, there was this lady, Jane Doe, who got a call. And from an old boyfriend that she was with for 5 years. And while they were together, he was abusive and just into bad stuff and not good. And he wound up in prison. But he gave her a call one day. And I just want to get this right. And he just told her, he apologized to her. Said, you know I did some horrible things, but I'm a changed man. I accepted Jesus Christ. You know, and I just want to say I'm sorry for all the wrong things that I did to you. And he didn't expect anything in return. But through that, they began to get to know each other more. And throughout the year, they really got closer. And then he died. He had cancer. And he passed. But he was okay with that because he knew that he was saved and where he was going. But what he didn't know, and you know, we don't always see the whole narrative, the whole story. What he didn't know, that 5 years prior to that, her mother passed. And she had a real battle with that and was angry with God and really turned away from God and was nowhere near God. And a lot of horrible things were going on in her life. But what he didn't know is that through him reaching out to her and them getting to know each other well, she came back to Christ and her life has been changed forever. So just by making himself vulnerable like Christ did in the manger and reaching out, he not only is dancing with Jesus now, but she is back dancing with Jesus again. So I want to share that and remind her, you know, make yourself vulnerable. You know, the miracle of Christ, you know, share that with somebody this year. Give that gift, because that's really the only gift most of us, well, all of us need. So I want to share that and thank you for listening before I read scripture. Is that quick? Oh, that was a little quick. You told me to be quick, but I'm never quick, so I'm sorry. Okay, now I have to find my place here. I was in Ephesians. Yeah, no, I have a pencil in Ephesians. I have to pull it over up there. Okay. I'm reading from the NIV, Colossians. Paul again, in prison, writing to this church that pastor's going to teach from, and then he's talking in here about all the wisdom and spiritual power that they get from being filled by the person of Christ. And this is Colossians 1, 9 through, what's the, let's see, forgive me, 13. Thank you. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of all the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
It's okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. You got to love Jerry, right? He can't be quick because he talks with his hands. And Colossians chapter 1, this passage is an awesome passage. Verses 1 through 14, the whole passage is about maturing in our Christian life. It's about growing and bearing fruit
the fruit of a Christ-like life. Verses 12 through 13, if you narrow the focus down to that passage, focuses on one of those marks, just one of those marks of a mature Christian life, and it focuses on giving thanks, or we might say it in a vernacular way, the attitude of gratitude. I have discovered in my years of being a pastor and a church leader that if there is no attitude of gratitude in a Christian's life, and we're focusing primarily on Christians today, there's going to be a lot of problems. Verse 12 refers to it as joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Joyfully. Not this mumbling and bumbling and grumbling and complaining. Joyfully giving thanks is all about what God has done. That's where we have to start. It's all about what God has done. It has nothing to do, and I don't want you to miss this, and some of you will miss it. It has nothing to do with circumstances. It has nothing to do with difficulties. It has nothing to do with pain or sufferings or persecution. It's about what God has done. What God has done in our world and what God is doing in our personal lives. There will be no genuine, joyful giving of thanks until this matter becomes a core value, a personal conviction for living for each of us. It has to be a very core value that drives us. This attitude of gratitude, it separates the mature from the immature. It separates the thankful from the complainer, the joyful from the grumbler. And I'll have to tell and share honestly, I have prayed against grumbling and complaining. And the Holy Spirit will convict me the moment that I have a tendency to slip into that. Woe is more poor me, you know. I think I'm going to go home and cry and eat nails. Everything is so bad, you know. And I pray against myself when that's slipping into my life. So a very pointed question, and I'm going to hit you between the eyes with it this morning, and that is, are you a grumbler? Are you a complainer, living with very little, if any, joyful thanksgiving to God? See, God wants us to mature. He wants us to mature as Christ-like lives, and that will be characterized by joyfully giving Him thanks. Now here's the question. How? How do we experience this awesome feeling, this attitude of gratitude that I am living, I'm being driven by joyful thanksgiving to Him? Well, we need to focus on the reasons. And the Apostle Paul gives us some of the most awesome reasons as to why we can be and why we should be giving joyful thanks to the Lord. Without trying to be too dramatic, let me underscore the next sentence that I'm going to give you. These are the greatest reasons for a life of thanks. Greatest reasons. Now, I am unbelievably thankful for my family, for my wife. I call her Wonder Woman sometimes. I wonder where she went. But I wonder all the things that she does. I am so thankful for my children, my grandchildren, my married grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And we just found out something very exciting this week. And number 9, great-grandchild, is due in June. Yeah, we're really blessed. And all of that is wonderful. And I could sit at home, or I could sit in my office, or I could be cruising on my bike or sitting in my car, and I could say, Lord, I'm thankful for all of that. But I want to share the greatest reasons for being thankful. Greater than family, greater than health, greater than living in America. And that's what will move us to this matter of really maturing. And God gives us these reasons here in Colossians. It's all about our understanding of what God has done for us. And we need to understand that. We need to discover that. Then we need to appropriate it into our lives. See, it's one thing for me to share some word this morning, but it's another thing to appropriate that. If I told you that earlier this week I had gone to your local bank and I had deposited a huge amount of money in your name, that's wonderful to hear, right? By the way, I didn't do that for you, but if I had. Yeah, if I had. Just knowing it's not good enough. You got to appropriate that. You're going to have to go to the bank and you're going to have to draw from that. So what I'm going to share this morning is, this is what God has done for us. Now you have to appropriate it into your lives. I want to share four reasons, the greatest life-changing reasons that you can imagine for giving thanks to God. Number one, He has become our Father. Amen. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? That phrase, I know over the years, can be used as a slam, like, who's your daddy, you know? I don't even know who your daddy is. Or it can be used in a very powerful way. Who's your daddy? Much of our identity as humans, our identity and our stability comes from our family foundations, and our relationship to our fathers. We may not always want to admit that, but it's there. I've shared numerous times over the years my growing up with an alcoholic father until I was 15 years of age. And so still today, I can identify. Don't get me wrong, I've spoken negatively about my father on numerous occasions, but I highly respected the man. But our identity as people so often is tied to our family relationships. God has adopted us. We are not orphans with no daddy. The Almighty Sovereign God of creation is our daddy. He's our Abba, Daddy, Father, our Heavenly Father, and we are in His family. We've been adopted into His family through who Jesus Christ is and what He's done to us. The moment that we repent of our sin and we turn our lives over to Him and in faith receive the gift that He has given us, we are born into His family. Why is that a reason to be thankful? He's the greatest father anyone can have. Really. He loves you. And I don't mean just you. I mean you. He knew you before He created the universe. I sit back and marvel at that. That me, this simple guy from Western Pennsylvania, you know, growing up in the environment that I grew up in and all the stuff that went on in my life, that God knew me before creation. He has a perfect plan and purpose for your life. That's all about meaning. What is life all about? The meaning that I have. Oh, we desperately need meaning. If you don't have meaning, your life will be empty. You got to have meaning. We must have meaning. We must have meaning. One of the greatest reasons to joyfully give thanks to God is because He is our Father. He gives us identity. He gives us meaning for why we're alive and our whole purpose for being, because He knew us before creation. He desires that we would come to Him and that we would trust Him. He seeks our fellowship and our communion. He wants to hear those words, Abba, Father, Daddy. He wants to hear those words from us. That's why He's created us. Not that He needs to hear it, but He wants to hear it. He desires and seeks your very best interest. And that's a tough one, especially when things aren't going the way we think they ought to be going, and it's being tough, and there's sickness, and there's pain, and there's sorrow, and there's persecution, and all those things. There's cancer and heart problems, or we lose a loved one. But again, without being too sermonic, nothing is permitted in your life which is apart from His will and for your ultimate good. Nothing. And again, as I've shared numerous times, and you could put it on my tombstone. No, there won't be a tombstone. There's going to be dust down in the bay in Ocean City, Maryland, you know, ashes. But if I had a tombstone, you could put this on there. There's no such thing as luck. There's only L-U-C-K, life under Christ's kingdom. See, nothing is permitted to come into your life that is apart from His perfect will for you and your ultimate good. He desires your best. And the moment we trust Him and He becomes our Father, He becomes our Daddy. You can say thank you. Joyfully, thank you. Thank you. See, He knew before creation who I would be, and I would be born in that home in that little town of McDonald in southwest Pennsylvania. And I would grow up and I would be a teenager and I would fall in love with a beautiful girl from across town. We would have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and that I would be standing here this morning sharing those words with you. Because He has a perfect plan for your life. He doesn't miss. Nothing surprises God. And we think, God, where were you? Where were you? It's like He missed it. He doesn't miss a thing. And those of you that have been born again, and you've been born from above and born from the Holy Spirit, you, we are God's children. And the next time someone says, or you hear that phrase, who's your daddy? Hey, God's my daddy. God, my heavenly Father. And we can say, thank you. Can you do that? Just in your own heart, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. I challenge you today to do that. Sitting here, riding home in your car, don't take your hands off the steering wheel maybe, but just thank Him at home. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You're my Daddy. You're my loving Father. Second reason, He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Inheritance. Now that usually gets our attention, right? Inheritance. Did you ever receive an inheritance? Anybody? Let me see. Where's the hands? I mean an inheritance. I'm looking. Okay, I'm going to see you afterwards. I'm going to hit you up for some money. No. An inheritance usually involves several factors. One, it involves the future. In essence, we're usually going to have to wait for it because something has to happen to someone that's giving us the inheritance. And that's the second thing, death. A family member dies and we have been named in the will or the estate. The will is a legal document and a guarantee. Now listen to Paul's language here in Colossians. God has, if you're looking at the NIV, what's the next word? God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. The word qualified here means that we are named in the will. Qualified means that we meet all the legal requirements. His death is the reason that we are named in the will. And we become recipients of His promised inheritance. If you get a chance this week, and I know everybody's very busy, sit down and read the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. If you haven't read it in a while, just sit down and read it. Fantastic transition from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to the New Testament. But there you see the details of the will that is made valid through the death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The will was made valid because there had to be a death of a family member. Do you get that? It had to be the death of a family member. And Jesus is the family member. He is our brother. And He died. And He made the will valid through His shed blood. Therefore, we are named in the inheritance. Our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ's death and His resurrection activates that into our lives. It is ours by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You can't buy the inheritance. You can't work for the inheritance. Someone had to die. A family member had to die. And then by faith, God has put us our names in it. And now we are qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. By the way, if you didn't know this, if you read the prodigal son in Luke, you know, the prodigal son story, and he goes to his father and he says, Dad, I want my inheritance. What was he really saying about the Father? He was saying, Father, I want you dead. I want you dead. Because the inheritance wouldn't come to after the Father died. But the Father said, okay, here it is. Here it is. You want me dead? You spit in my face. You slap me in the face. But here's your inheritance. Jesus, our family member, our brother, God in the flesh has died. And see, we are promised to share in that inheritance. The word share here means we will experience the benefits of that inheritance. About 20 years or so ago, Connie's mom and dad died, and they weren't wealthy, but they left each of the four children a small inheritance, and we had a small amount of money given to us, and we used that money for a down payment on our first retirement house that we bought in Maryland, in near Ocean City. We experienced the benefits of that inheritance. Yes, our inheritance from our Heavenly Father is waiting for us in the future, but we can experience it right now. And we experience it this way, that we have the confidence and the assurance of our eternal life that's sealed through the work of the Holy Spirit, that our promise is that we gain heaven and that the Holy Spirit's come to live inside of us. We experience that, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1. That's the guarantee that we have. We can experience God's presence now. Eternity is sealed and guaranteed for us, and we wait for that, but all the blessings we can experience now because of faith that we have in Jesus Christ. See, as a Christian, you have been named in God's will through your faith in Christ. You can experience that share in your real inheritance. That's one of the greatest reasons to be joyful. And if when the pressures come and the problems and all the blues of Christmas begin to creep in, just sit back and say, "Geez, Father, thank you. Thank you." I challenge you to do that today. When you go home, sit down and get alone with Him and just say, "Father, I thank you. I have an inheritance, and I can experience the joy of that, and I can joyfully thank you for it." Third reason is a very powerful reason, and that is He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. You see Paul's language here in Colossians. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. The word rescue here suggests the need to be saved from impending danger, harm, or destruction. That's what it's involved here. And there are Christians, and of course, sometimes we change our vocabulary, but it's very proper to say, as a Christian, "I'm saved." Are you saved? I trust that you are. I hope that you are. But that means that we've been rescued. We have been saved from impending danger and harm. And notice that God has rescued us because we need it. We need it. Don't believe the lies that you don't need it. We need to be saved from the destruction of hell, that separation from God. That's our impending destiny apart from God's intervention through what Jesus Christ has done. We have been saved, we have been rescued, and notice the language, from the dominion of darkness. That includes our final destination of heaven, not hell. It involves where we are living right now and how we are living. Dominion means a kingdom. And in this case, it involves a kingdom, an authority that is built on lies and deception, and a powerful authority that might be trying to dictate your life. Darkness, a dominion of darkness, means that we do not know how to get out of it. We don't know how to get out of it. It is so dark we can't see. We don't know where to go. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what direction. We just don't know where we are. It is so dark. Our lives are so dark. We don't know where to turn. We can't see anything clearly. Truth has not touched our lives. but darkness. And here, one of the reasons, one of the most fantastic reasons for joyfully giving thanks to the Father, we have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. And most, if not all of you that know Jesus Christ, you can share that day I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I was born again and I was brought into His family and His Holy Spirit dwelled in me. It's like my eyes were open. I can see. I can see. I could never see before, but now I can see. I'm not physically blind, but I was spiritually blind. Darkness was all around me, and Jesus, by His Holy Spirit, just opened my eyes and I could see. I've been rescued from that dominion of darkness. Amen. See, apart from God's intentional action, we are in bondage to a spiritual dominion of Satan that is governed by lies and evil. And because of our natural bent, our natural desires of sin and rebellion against God. We, apart from Jesus Christ, apart from this being rescued, we live in a culture of darkness. Whole other sermon. Don't be surprised when non-believers, you go, I just don't believe how they look at life. I can't understand the choices they make and the decisions they make. It's quite natural. When you live in darkness, you're going to bounce and bang around, and you're going to make stupid, self-centered, arrogant, egotistical decisions. But praise God. Joyful thanks, Jesus, You've rescued us from that dominion of darkness. Think of how you would be living without God's work of grace in your life right now. Here I am, 70 years of age. Yes. It's hard to believe that, but here I am. And I've known Jesus since 1968. You've heard my story. I can't imagine how I'd be living today if it wasn't for Jesus rescuing me from the dominion of darkness. In all honesty, I would probably be dead. If I wasn't dead, I probably would wish that I was dead. Or I'd have climbed some corporate ladder to the top and been so dissatisfied, it wasn't what I expected. You know? But I would have probably been dead. I'd probably been an alcoholic, maybe a drug addict, maybe running with tons of women. Sorry, dear. But she knows what I am like apart from Jesus Christ. Think of how you would be living today apart from God's work of grace to save you and rescue you from that dominion of sin, that dominion of darkness, that dominion of Satan with all the lies and all the stuff that goes with that. But praise God. We can joyfully give thanks to Him. Thank You, You've rescued me from the dominion of darkness. It's one of the greatest reasons for just offering that thanks. Unless you enjoy being a slave to Satan and a slave to sin and living in that darkness. Thank Him. Get alone with Him today and thank Him. Fourth reason, this may be the greatest reason. That's up to you to decide. He has brought us into the kingdom of His Son. Not only have we been rescued from sin and darkness, but He has brought us into another kingdom and another authority, and it's all about Jesus. See, it's one thing that you're out on a ship. Let's say you're cruising along, you know, and Connie likes to cruise, and she's got me to like to cruise. So ever since our 40th anniversary, we've cruised every year except this year. And most of you know we went to Israel and Jordan. But can you imagine being on a cruise ship and all of a sudden the cruise ship starts sinking and you have to go overboard and you're floating around in the Caribbean or the Gulf or the Pacific somewhere, and there's sharks. There's sharks, and I don't like sharks. They're pretty, but I don't like them. I was in the Navy, man. We had to deal with, you know, being overboard and life-saving and all that kind of stuff. But can you imagine being in the water and the sharks are swirling around you, and all of a sudden someone throws you a life raft? And you climb up into the life raft. And here's this captain on this big old aircraft carrier. They threw the life raft over to you and say, here you are, man. And you go, well, thank you, I'm saved. And he says, see you later, I'm out of here. I think some Christians think that God does that, that it's all about getting saved. We're in the life raft. And we're going to heaven. You know, our fire insurance policy is paid up. Our eternal life insurance is all taken care of. But you know, that's not what God's kingdom is all about. It's not just being in the raft, saved from the sharks. We've been brought onto the aircraft carrier. Now, I said aircraft carrier on purpose and not cruise ship. Because some people, some Christians think, I become a Christian, man, I'm going on a cruise, everything's going to be great, you know, all the fantastic food and all the fun and the entertainment. And no, we're on a battle. We're in a battle. That's a whole other sermon too. But I like the aircraft carrier because being in the Navy, I wasn't on a ship, but if I would have been, it would have been on an aircraft carrier, if you could figure that one out. But God brings us onto the aircraft carrier. See, now we're part of the kingdom of Jesus. And a kingdom where He, Jesus, is the commanding officer. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is not a tyrant. He's not a taskmaster. He's not a plantation owner with slaves and hired hands. He's our brother. He's our friend. Yes, He is our King and He is Lord and He loves us and He will care for us and He will meet our needs. He will provide for our needs. He will provide for our needs. He will provide for our needs. Look at some of the needs that are mentioned here in this passage. He gives us redemption. Redemption. All that's involved in being bought, all of that, bought out of sin and darkness. He gives us the forgiveness of sins. There's probably someone here today that you just maybe don't get it. Or maybe you don't want to get it. The guilt is just pressing on you. Jesus Christ forgives you. And our King and our Lord, He knows we desperately need it. Anyone sinned lately? Anyone sinned lately? Of course. We're people. We're sinners by nature. But He forgives. And He forgives. And He forgives. 70 times 7. And He forgives you. The shed blood of Jesus is all about past sin. It's all about present sin. And it's all about sin tomorrow. Jesus died once. He doesn't have to keep dying. But the forgiveness is there for us. One of the greatest reasons to be joyful, to give joyful thanks, is that now you're a citizen of Jesus Christ's kingdom. You live under His authority. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. He knows exactly what you need. Redemption, forgiveness, and all those basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter. Thank Him. Get alone and just say, Father, I thank You. Yes, You brought me out of a kingdom of darkness, and now You brought me into the kingdom of Jesus. No longer in the life raft, just getting to heaven. Now I'm living on the aircraft carrier, and I'm going to do whatever You want. The battles are going to be fought. The kingdom is there, but You will provide. You will take care of me. Joyfully give thanks to God, because He has become our Heavenly Father. He is your Daddy. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And He's brought us into this fantastic kingdom that's right now. It's not just the kingdom for tomorrow. It's a kingdom that is today. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Let's stand and pray. I want you to talk to God for a moment. You can close your eyes. You can bow your head. You can stand with your eyes looking at heaven, the sky, or the roof. You can look straight ahead. I want you to just thank the Father. Quietly, out loud if you want. I'll give you a moment to just talk to Him. Joyfully thank Him for who He is and what He's done in your life. That attitude of gratitude radically, radically changes us. Heavenly Father, thank You. We offer joyful thanks to You. Forgive us for when we have grumbled and complained. Jesus, you're the King of Kings. We're going to leave this room today, Lord, and I pray that joyful praise and thanks will be on our lips and in our hearts as we live and move and breathe in your presence, and we praise your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.